Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubas Daf Tes Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tes Vav on the base at the new Mishnah. It says the Mishnah Isha Shnes Arma, a woman who became an Almana and Nizgarsha, or she got divorced. Here I married Basula Nisasani, and she claims to her husband's estate that when I got married I was a Basula, and as we've learned so extensively in our Masechta, the Ksuba of a Basula is Masayim, is 200 Zuz. And he says, when I got married to you, you were an almana. So Rashi explains, this woman is coming to claim her ksuba payment, and either he or his estate are disagreeing how much she's entitled to. Rumiri explains that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where they don't write a ksuba. And since they don't write a ksuba. So even though, says the Miri, we learned that a man may not remain married to his wife without a ksuba, here we're referring, says to the Miri, where he designated property for the ksuba payment. And that's why we don't have a clear document to indicate if she is or isn't entitled to the ksuba. Says the Mishnah, Im yesh edim shiyotz behenuma, if there were edim that were at the wedding, and they saw that she was wearing like a veil made out of hadassim or rosh perua. She went out with her hair uncovered. Ksubas masayim. These are all proof that she was a psula when she got married. And therefore, we could rely on that. And the Shita Mekubetzis explains, what is the Chiddush of our Mishnah? The Chiddush of our Mishnah is that normally, when we speak about a proof, the proof is in the person's body. Here, it's not on the person's body herself. She was walking around with Hinuma Baraisha, or Rabbi Yochanan Baraikam, Chiluk Kloyus. They would give out grain at the wedding of a psula. So even though all of these riots are not on the woman herself, it's enough to prove that she is considered a psula. And in fact, the Ravin says, this is the minhag, in a lot of places, that at a wedding they give grain to the audience, and as the chasen akala leave the chuppah, they throw that grain on the chasen akala. The Rekeach says that the source for that minig is because the pasuk says hasam gavuleich shalom chelav chite yezbiyeich. So as the chasen akala got married, we want to wish them to have a life of shalom, so we throw chaitim. We learned earlier in our Masechta extensively the Machlokes of Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua, if a woman could make a claim, and based on that claim, get her ksuba. And part of the discussion there was a migui. Gamliel says that a woman who, when her husband did the first beer with her, was discovered to be a bula, has a right to say, Mishanastani nanasti, that this only happened after I was an arusa, that I was violated, and it's your bad fortune, and I'm entitled to get a ksuba masayim. And part of the reason we learned she's believed is because she could have said she's a mukas eitz. What's the difference if she says she's a mukas eitz or she says mishrani nanasti? Because a mishrani nanasti, if she's married to a kohen, even though it was against her will, she becomes also to her husband. But if she's a mukas eitz, she doesn't become also to her husband. And this is what's known as a migui. A migui is I could have said a better claim, and I said a weaker claim, believe me when I said it. Yeshua held that she's not believed. But now, tells us the Gemara case, where even Rabbi Yeshua will agree with Rabbi Gamliel, that the migui will be helpful to her, that based on the migui will be helpful, that a person could prevail based on a migui. Might Rabbi Yeshua. Somebody is on a property, and he says, this property belonged originally to your father, but I purchased it, and therefore, it's mine. And again, as the Rishonim explained, that this person doesn't have any clear proof that this property is his. He doesn't have a document proving that it's his. He doesn't have a chazak of 3 years, as the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra teaches us quite extensively in Perek Cheskes Abatim, that if somebody is on a property 3 years and nobody said anything, that's a proof that it's his property. This person doesn't have any of those proof. The halacha, everybody will agree, he's l'neman. Why? Shepasa asa pesheter. We don't know that this property belonged to the father. The only reason we know that it belonged to the father is because he's saying so. But at the same time that he's saying that this property belonged to your father, he's also saying that I owned the property. That's called Peshas Pesheter, and he's believed. There's Machloikus Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos. What is the story here? The way Rashi learns is that this person who's making this claim, this person with the Pesha Asa Pesha Iter, came in on his own. But if the other person would have started the Dintaira, he would not be believed. Tosfos seems to learn that if the person who's making the claim has no proof that this property is his or his father's, even if he's the one that started the Dintaira, there's a Pesha Asa Pesha Iter. V'myesh Edim. But if the our Edim Shishalaviv, that it belonged to the father, so then we don't need his Peshas Peshetar, Vumal Kachtem Menu, and all he claims is that I bought it from the father, then Ein Nemen, and he wouldn't be believed. Says the Gemara, Tamdik Edim. The reason that we believe the Edim, we believe the woman when she says that I got married as a psula, is because there were Edim, as we learned in the Mishnah, who come and say that we had all the proof at that wedding that she was a psula at the wedding. Halakha Edim. But if there were no Edim that could definitively say that she was a psula, then the halacha is that Baal Mehemen, the husband, is believed, and she doesn't have the ability to collect the ksuva of a psula. But ask the Gemara, we have actually discussed this question, who was believed, the husband and the wife, in many Mishnayos in the previous perek. We had a case where the woman says, where the woman got married on the assumption she's a psula, and then when the husband had relations with her, it turned out that she was not a psula. The husband claims that she lost a psulim before the erusin, and therefore she's not entitled to the ksuba of a psula. The wife claims that it happened after erusin. Rav Gamliel says that we trust the wife because she had the chazaka, we rely on the cheskes psula, and the Rishua disagrees. So our Mishnah, asked the Gemara, lema tanan stamma, the like Rav Gamliel. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rav Gamliel. Dear Rav Gamliel, Homer, Rav Gamliel's opinion, as we mentioned, is that she is believed. And our Mishnah, we're only believing her because she has these Edim who are saying that we saw her going out with the Hinuma or with the other Rayas. So isn't that a Raya to Rabbi Yeshua? Says the Gemara, Field Tamer Gamliel. Our Mishnah could be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. For Atkan, Rabbi Gamliel, Hassam, El Bari Veshema. When there's a bari in a shema, where she says, I know that I was a psula when you got married, and if anything happened, it was mishteristani and nasty. Therefore, she and he doesn't know definitively what happened. So that's why bari v'shema, we follow the bari. Aval hocha, bari v'bari. They both are claiming, both are coming with definitive claims. And since they're both coming with definitive claims, says Gemara, Loi Amar, Gamliel didn't say that we believe her. And that's why, in a Mishnah speaking, that's the case of our Mishnah. But here we too have an interesting Machloikus Rishonim. The Gemara is saying that we're speaking here about a Bari Ubari. But as we said when we began learning the Shir, that our Mishnah is not necessarily where it's the wife against the husband. It's a wife against the Yarshim. The husband died, and the wife is coming to claim a ksuba payment from the estate of the Yarshim. So with a husband, he could say, Bari, I married you, you weren't a psula. And she says, I was. I married you knowing that you're not a psula. And she says, no, you married me as a psula. But if her dintaira is with the Yarshim, so the Yarshim weren't there by the marriage, will that be considered a case of Bari? Rashi seems to say no. only if the other side is making a definitive claim can be considered bari or bari. If they're not making a definitive claim, that's not considered bari or bari. The Rosh disagrees. And the Rosh says, even though the Dintari here is between the wife and the Yarshim, and the Yarshim can't really be a bari, they weren't there, they can't know for sure what happened, we make that, since it's a claim that they can make, says the Rosh, it's already a claim that we make on their behalf. With the Karlei, my Karlei. So ask the Gemara. The Gemara began with a question, that our Mishnah seems to not be able to follow the opinion of Reb Gamliel. And we answered, Reb Gamliel was speaking about a bari v'shema, and our Mishnah is talking about a bari bari. Ha bari bari hi. Why is our Mishnah, isn't this answer so obvious? What was the question? Answers the Gemara. Kim derav nashim besulas nesas. Since most women get married as besulas, then says the Gemara, no matter what the husband says, suggests the Gemara is always going to be considered kibari v'shem adami, and therefore, according to Gamliel, maybe we should always believe her. That's what the Mishnah teaches us, that no. Hachanami mistabra. And that's the way to understand our Mishnah. Midiktani, let's look at the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Omaydir b'shua, the b'shua is agreeable. Iyam b'shlama ayri Rabbi Gamliel b'maydir. If we're going to say that the ratio of our Mishnah also follows the opinion of Gamliel, and in that case, he's agreeing with Rabbi Shua, then unless it's a case of Bari v'shema, he's going to agree with Rabbi Shua that the wife, in this case, or if the wife could bring Edom that she got married as a psula, if in the absence of that, he will agree with Rabbi Shua that she only gets a ksuba mana, shaper. So then we could understand, the Adam Mishnah continues with Maida Rabbi Shua, that the Bereisha speaks about a case where Rabbi Gamliel is Maida to Rabbi Shua, and the Sefer speaks about a case where Rabbi Shua is Maida to Rabbi Gamliel. Eli Amrit Lai Rabbi Gamliel Maida, if we're going to say that the Reisha is not following the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Because in the Reisha, even Rabbi Gamliel would continue with his position that she wins the Dintaira. So that's Pshat Rabbi Shua L'ma Maida. So whose opinion is being cited in the Reisha? It's only Rabbi Shua's opinion that's being cited in the Reisha. If it's only Rabbi Shua's opinion that's being mentioned in the Reisha, what does it mean when it says that Rabbi Shua is Maida? Mi Savrit, says the Gemara, that's not a question. Mi Savrit Rabbi Shua Hai Perkin Koi. This Maida that we have, Rabbi Shua, is not referring to the Mishnah. It could be that in the ratio of our Mishnah, it's a Machloikus of Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Gamliel. A Maikoi, so when the Mishnah says that Seifa Maida Rabbi Shua, to what is that being addressed? A Pirkin Kamakoi. It's talking about the Machloikus that we had, many Machloikus between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shua in the previous Perek. And now the Gemara is saying that even though Rabbi Shua in all those cases disagreed with Rabbi Gamliel, in the last case of our Mishnah, he agrees with Rabbi Gamliel. Says the Gemara, Ahai, which machloikis was mentioned in the first perek that we're going to say, this machloikis, we're going to say there Rabbi Shua disagrees, but here agrees. Ilay Maha, it's going to go on the Mishnah that we learned on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah said, Haysim Uberis, you have a single woman who's pregnant. And we ask her, what is the status of this child? And she answers, Mish Plani V'Kainhu, that the father of this child is a person of impeccable yichus, and this is his child. We trust what she says. We don't trust her. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Hosmai Mega Ika. There's no migui that she could. The whole case of our Mishnah is talking about a case of a migui that Rabbi Shua says because it's pesha asa pesha etter, we believe. Where's the migui there? Harei kresa ben shenal. She's pregnant. How could she say that I make this claim because I could have had a better claim? There's no better claim she could have made. So it has nothing to do with migui. So how can we say that the Maida Rabbi Shua, the Rabbi Shua agrees in a case of a migui, is talking about that case? That case has nothing to do with migui. Elaha, it's going to the other case, to another Mishnah we learned in our previous parak. We spoke about a case of Miro Medaberes Amechot, and we'll soon see what Medaberes means. Vamrlo Mativa Shalisu, who is this man? And she says Ish Pliny V'Kainhu, and Gamliel Relezer Amrin Amenes. Shuva Aimel Loimi Pianachaim. So again, we're saying that even though there's presumably a migui, here we don't, Rabbi Shua doesn't accept a migui, but in our Mishnah, he does accept a migui. Ask the Gemara, hasa mai migui ika? What's the migui? Hanichal ziri. So if we remember, we had a very fundamental machloikis in the previous parak between Ziri and Rav Asi. What is the definition of medaberes? So according to Ziri, that he explained that the word medaberes means nistra, that we saw secluded with a man. So there is a migui. Migui debay amra. She could have said, I was with the man alone, but loy nevalti, I didn't have relations. The kamra, but she says, nevalti, I did have relations, but I'm telling you, I had relations with the man, but he's an ish koyin. So there is a migui. And that's why Mehemna, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say, we trust that migui. And Rabbi Shua says, I don't trust that migui. We don't accept that migui. Comes Rabbi Shua in our Mishnah and says that in our Mishnah, I will accept the migui. But ask the Gemara, El Rav Asi, who defined in that Mishnah that Maim Daberis means Nivalti, that we saw her having relations with this man. So what's the migui in that parak? The reason Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer believe her is not because of a migui. So the machlokes has nothing to do with migui, that we should say that there Rabbi Shua doesn't accept the migui, but in our parak he does accept the migui. Eloha. We're referring to the case where a man married a woman with the assumption that she's a basula, and it turns out that she's a ba'ula. He I marries, and she says, mukas eitz ani. What you found is because I'm a mukas eitz. V'u'aymer, and he says, loy ki el drusish ishat. You had relations with a man, and not only did you have relations with a man, you had those relations before you were an arusa, and therefore you're not entitled to the ksuba of a psula. Rabbi Shua doesn't accept it. And we're saying now that there Rabbi Shua doesn't accept the migui, and here he does accept the migui. Ask the Gemara, Hosam, my miguyika. What type of migui is there? Bishlam and Rabbi Lezer. According to Belazar, as we discussed extensively when we learned that sugya, that what is the machloikis in that between the husband and wife? He's saying that we're following the opinion of the Chachamim that say that a mukas eitz gets a ksub of a mona. So according to Belazar, she's asking for a ksub of a mona, and he wants not to give her even that because he says that you were a be'ula before the erusin. And this is a mekach tos. So we can understand how it is a migui. Dibay Amra, she could have said, mukas ani tachtecha. Not only am I a mukas eitz, but I became a mukas eitz after the erusin. And since I became a mukas eitz after the erusin, I'm entitled, nestap chasadei, it was your bad luck that happened to me after the erusin, and I'm entitled to a ksuba of Messiah. And instead of saying that, the kama, she says, Mikara, that I was a mukas eitz even before the erusin. And she's admitting that she will only get a mona. So that's why mehemna. And that's considered a migui. Because she could have said a better claim. She could have said that I became a mukas eitz after the erusin. And she said, no, I became a mukas eitz before the erusin. And that's why she's believed. But ask the Gemara, El Rabbi Yochanan d'Amar, a coin to Rabbi Yochanan that says that the machloikis between the husband and wife in that Mishnah is Messiah Mamona, where she claims that she deserves a ksuba of Messiah, and he claims that you get only a mona. Because, as Rabbi Yochanan explained, the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya, who holds that the ksuba of a mukas eitz is Messiah. So by her saying that she was a mukas eitz, she's not giving up anything. If she's not giving up anything, she's not saying a weaker claim when she could have said a bit better claim. So my miguyika. So there's no migui. So we're back to where we started. Where do we have a machloikus of Gamliel and Rabbi Shua asked the Gemara in the previous parak that there Rabbi Shua did not accept a migui, and our Mishnah is teaching us that here he does accept a migui. Says the Gemara, Elaha. It's going to what we learned on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The case was, somebody marries a woman and she doesn't have psulim. She says that I was violated after I was an arusa, and it's your bad luck and it's not my fault, and you have to give me a ksuba of Messiah. was your bad luck. This happened before there was Erisin, and therefore I don't have to give you anything because it was a Mekach Tos. I thought you were Basula, and you're really a Bula. Rav Gamliel, Rav Lezer, I'm in a menace. Rav Shua, I'm a loyim piyei nechaim. Dibai says, what's the reason for Rav Gamliel? The Migi Dibai Amra, she could have said, Mukutseitz Adni Tachtecha. She could have said, there was a Mukutseitz. Why is that a better claim? Because by claiming she was a Mukutseitz, like Apostle Nash Mekona, she doesn't become disqualified from being able to marry a Kayin. But what she say? Nanasti. And a woman who was violated will not be allowed to marry a Kayin. The Kapasla Nash Mekona. And that's why Rav Gamliel says this is a case of a Migui, where she could have said a better claim, and she said a weaker claim. And Rav Gamliel says Mehemna, to which the Kamer Bishua Rav Gamliel. And now we understand our Mishnah. Rav Gamliel, Rav Shua says to Rav Gamliel in our Mishnah, behind Migui the Hacha, in the Migui that we learned in our Mishnah, I accept Maidin Aloch, that it will accept the claim of a Migui. However, by who Migui the Hassam, where she says, Mirshtani Nanasti, even though she could have said Mukus Eitz, and we had a good Migui, Pilgrin Galacha, I don't accept that Migui. But ask the Gemara, Midi, Michti, Hai Migui, Hai Migui. In that Mishnah, there was a case of a Migui, and our Mishnah, there's a case of a Migui. So, Mishnah, Hai Migui, why in our Mishnah does there be, why in that Mishnah does Rabbi Shua not accept the Migui? And Mishnah, and why in our Mishnah, Mahai Migui, he does accept the Migui? Answers the Gemara. B'hacha, in the Mishnah, Ein Shah Shachar Lefnecha. As we explained when we learned the Mishnah, Rashi explains. In our Mishnah, there is no reason to have it in Torah. That there was nothing going on. And this man walked in and said that I am on this field and I bought it from your father. So there's nothing that is causing us not to believe him. In that Mishnah, however, the man found a wife that doesn't have Basulim. So we can't just ignore it. And that's why the Migui in our Gemara is stronger than the Migui in that. And the Migui in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shua admits, is a stronger Migui than the Migui in that Mishnah. That's the way Rashi explains. Because Rashi, as we learned in the Mishnah, is following the opinion that this man who walked in to admit that this field belonged to your father, but I bought it, there was nothing that provoked him to say it. But as we learned, Tosfos explained, our Mishnah is referring to a situation even when he was provoked to say it. Why? So therefore, what is the difference between our Mishnah and that Mishnah? So he says that in that Mishnah, Shah Shach Lefanecha, we have certainly an issue in front of us. The reality is that this woman is not a psula. Now we have to start determining why she isn't the psula. But we certainly have a problem. In our Mishnah, even if the son is walking in and saying that this property belonged to my father, it still doesn't mean that we have a problem. Just because a property was once owned by his father doesn't mean that the person who's on the property currently has no right to be on the property. And therefore, in this Mishnah, Rav Shua will agree to the Migui. So we now have this question of Migui. We also have a Gemara in Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Beis, where we have a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. And when we speak about Din and Mamas, do we follow the Rav? Rav's opinion is that just like B'chol HaTorah Kula, we follow Rav. That's why by Din and Mamas, we also follow Rav. Shmuel holds that we don't follow Rav only by Din and Issa V'Heter, but by Din and Mamas, we don't follow Rav. Says the Gemara, Ki even the Rav Nasher Basulus Nasas, since most women get married as Basulus, so even if loy asa edim, even if there are no edim that can corroborate that this woman got married as a psula, my hava, the roiv corroborates that she was a psula. Most women get married as psulas, and that should be enough that she should be entitled to the ksub of a messiah. Answers the Gemara, Amar Avinu Mishum Deklameima. Yes, Rav Nashim Besulis Nashim. Most women get married as Besulis. However, me, I'm honest, there are some women who get married when they're not Besulis. And furthermore, the Kol HaNisses Besula, usually when a woman gets married as a Besula, Yesh LeKol, everybody's speaking about the woman. Her, the Zu, and the Mishnah, the woman of our Mishnah, and LeKol, is lacking that Kol. That's why it's LeRuba. In other words, what the Gemara means to say is that, yes, we follow a Rav, but we only can follow a Rav when the Rav is a strong Rav. Here, it's a weak Rav, and therefore we can't follow the Rav. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, so why in our Mishnah, ask the Gemara, Ikal HaNisses, Besula Yesh LeKol. It was saying that when a woman got married as a Besula, there would be a Kol. So why in our Mishnah, which clearly is referring to a woman who got married and there was no Kol around the marriage? Why, Ki also Edim, if Edim come with the various testimony that they say, proving that she was a Besula when they got married, may have her. Why don't we just say, Hanisadi Shakrinenu, that they must be saying a lie? Because if she was a Psula, where's the Kol? Elama Ravina, Ravina modifies. Raven is a Psula Yesh the Kol. Vzu, Hoyov Ein Le Kol. Most people who get married as a Psula have a Kol. Here, we're missing that Kol. And that's why Isle Ruba, and she can't rely on the Rav. But if she has Adis, then the Adis will be able to help her win. So we learned in the Mishnah, if there were different rayas that this woman got married as a Besula, she gets the Ksuba of Messiah. Ask the Gemara, but why are we being lenient? Why are we not to be concerned? Ask the Gemara. First she'll bring Edom to one Besdin, and she'll say, I don't have my Ksuba, but I have Edom that I was a Besula when I got married, and collect Masayim Zuz. But she really has the Ksuba, and she'll go now to another Besdin, the Gavyaba, and she'll use that Ksuba to collect again Masayim. And as the Rishonim say, the Gemara is being very deliberate in saying that she'll go to another Besdin. The reason that we say she's going to another Besdin, because if she'll show up to the same Besdin, Besdin will remember the Din Torah that this woman had, and she won't be able to fool them. But if she goes to a different Besdin, she'll have the ability to do this kind of a trick. Amar Rav Avua, Zois Emeris, the fact that our Mishnah is not concerned with this, it's a raya, the Kaisvin Shaver, that we're going to give the husband a receipt, or the husband's estate, a receipt that he paid off the ksuba. So if now she's going to try to go with a different bezdin with that ksuba, the husband will take out the shaver. But this is a question throughout Shas. Do we write a shaver or not? And the Gemara says many times that we don't write a shaver because we don't want that this person should have to hold on to it. Isn't our Mishnah Raya the Kaisen Shaver? Rava Papa Amar, no. We don't make the man or his estate hold on to a shaver. Our Mishnah is talking about Makam Shein Kaisvin Ksuba Skinan. So there, in such a case, we certainly write a shaver, and therefore the halacha is that he will have to hold on to the shaver. He has nothing else to hold on to, and that's why we're not worried. Vikid the Masan La Braisa. Does some have this conversation a Ravu and a Papa regarding a Braisa? The Braisa says, if the Ksubasa, if a woman lost a Ksuba, hit me a Ksubasa, she hit a Ksuba, Nisraf a Ksubasa, Ksuba got burnt, Rokdil for now, if she could bring a Raya, the Rokdil for now, Sichakula for now, these are all Rayas that she was a Psula, Havirul for now, Kosha Yayin Shabsura, or Mapa Shabsulam, or they set a sheet that represents Psulim and all these cases, Bechem Mikol Eidla, any of these cases are Ksubasa, a raya that she's a Ksuba. Ask the Gemara, but why not be concerned? Dilma Mafka Eidim Bahai Beidina, Vagavya, Vahafta, Vahad Mafka Ksubasa Bahai Beidina, Vagavya Ba. Maybe she'll do the same, she'll say that she has the Ksuba. Omar Vaba, says Rav Avuah, we're not concerned, because when the husband or his estate has to pay off the ksuba, kaisvin shayvim. We don't write a shayver. Here we're talking specifically in a case where there's no ksuba written. In a case where no ksuba is written, either we do write a shayver, or even if we don't write a shayver, we need not be concerned that she's going to bring out a ksuba, because we're living in a place where ksubas are not written. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that they're in a place where they don't write ksubas? Didn't the Brisa speak about a case that she lost the ksuba? So isn't that clearly indication that a ksuba was written? And as Rashi explains, there are edim that say that the ksuba was written. Or the Ravid says, it's talking about a case where she admits that she wrote an ksuba. Says the Gemara, the cost of Libra, it doesn't change anything. This is a place where ksuba is not normally written. He decided to write a ksuba. But asked the Gemara, okay, it's indeed a place where ksubas are not really normally written. He decided to write a ksuba. But if he wrote the ksuba, so why would we let her collect the ksuba? Soif, soif, mafkul of a gavimo. Everybody's admitting that there is a ksuba. So why shouldn't we be concerned that she's going to pull out that ksuba after she already collects it once? Answers the Gemara, my ibda ba'ar. That we know that the ksuba got burnt, and since we know that the ksuba got burnt, we need not be concerned that she's going to be pull out a ksuba. Says the Gemara, if that's what Ibda means, so that's what Bryce already spoke about. Yochayin and Nisrafo, void hit mino. When the woman hid the ksuba, what are we going to say in such a case? And the su, Ibda lamali. And why do we have to say that Nisrafo is Ibda? Why do we have to have Ibda and Nisrafo? I'll call Ibda, says the Gemara, whenever she says that she lost the star, kitmina v'fenenu dami, it's considered as if she deliberately hid it. And therefore, we don't pay her off the ksuba, even if she could prove that she was a psula when she got married, ad the amri edim, until she brings edim to say that a ksuba was burnt. And by saying that a ksuba was burnt, these edim, it removes any concern that after we pay her ksuba, she's going to come back with the ksuba. So we had two versions of this machlokes. Says the Gemara, man the masna la braisa, the braisa that says that she collects the ksuba when the ksuba was lost, and we explained that she only could collect the ksuba if there are edim that the ksuba was burnt. Koshke, that certainly when we speak about the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where there's no ksuba written. Man the mama masnisen, but one that the version that has the machlokes of Ravu and Rapapa on the Mishnah can't say the Braisa loy, cannot say that the same machlokes would be in the Braisa. Because we can't say that Braisa is referring to place where they don't write ksuba, because the Braisa says ibda ksubasa, and it can't be therefore defined. The Mishnah we could say is talking about a place where they don't write ksuba. But we can't easily explain the Braisa is talking about a place with a ksuba, where they don't write ksuba, because the Braisa says ibda ksubasa. So we learned in Mishnah Yesh Edim, that their Edim that she went out as a psula goes out, it's a proof that she was a psula by the wedding. But ask the Gemara, the Leichishtimo, Mafke Edim Numa Bahai Beidin Vagavya, that why does the Mishnah not concern that she's going to bring Edim that she was a psula and collect the ksuba, and then, yes, we're talking about a place where no ksuba is written, as we just said. So we need not be concerned that she's going to carry the ksuba a second time, because there's no ksuba. But why should we not be concerned? She'll go to one bezdin and say, I was a psula and my marriage ended. I want my 200 zuz. And then they'll pass that she's deserving it. And then she'll go to another bezdin and do the same thing. Says the Gemara, what we must say here is, when there's no other way of preventing something like that from happening, everybody agrees that kasvin is shvayver. So what the Gemara says now is that when there's an option not to write a shvayver, so we don't write a shvayver. Why don't we write a shvayver? Because as we explained earlier in the shiur, the person who's going to have to hold on to the shvayver can make a claim I don't want to be put into a place where I have to hold on to the shaver. But when there are no other options, that claim that you can't make me hold on to the shaver falls away. We learned in the Braisa what that there are different ways of being able to know for sure that she was a psula when they got married. Havir lefana kosher psura. Ask them, am I kosher psura? Amar vada barhava. Kosher yan shatriyum mavir lefana. They used to pass a cup of wine of truma in front of the kala. Kloima, and what we're declaring is ruya hoisuzu lechva truma, that she's a girl that could eat truma. Ask the Gemara, maskura papa, ota amona me lechva truma. The halacha is that an almana who marries a kohen, an almana is allowed to marry a kohen, and when an almana marries a kohen, she now becomes entitled to eat truma. So why is the fact that they pass a cup of truma in front of the kala a raya that she's a psula? Elam rapapa, while we bring the cup of truma is to indicate the Torah is called, the truma is called racious, and that this woman never had relations previously because she's a psula, racious katruma, which is called racious. Tanya Rabbi Hudaima, chavish shal yayin, mavir al fana. By a wedding, they used to bring a barrel of wine, but there's a difference between the wedding of a psula and a bu'ula. Aravada, barahava, psula mavir al fana stuma. In front of a kala, who's a psula, they bring a sealed cup of a barrel of wine. By bringing the sealed barrel of wine, they're showing that she is a psula, bu'ula, but if she's a bu'ula, mavir al fana psucha, an open barrel of wine. Amai, ask the Gemara, why do we do it that way? Never come in psula. Why don't we do the following? That in front of psula, we should take a barrel of wine. Makes no difference if it's open or closed. The kamei bu'ula will never klal. And the fact that there was wine by a wedding will clearly be an indication that she was a psula. Answers the Gemara, zimna tafsa masayim. What we need to be concerned is that she's going to grab from 100, from her husband or from his estate, masayim. Vamra, and she'll say, "Ano b'sula avoy. I was a b'sula when we got married, and that's why I'm entitled to masayim." V'hai d'loyav kamai, and this that they didn't pass in front of me the barrel of wine, it's nusin nusin. They didn't have any wine available, and maybe since she's holding on to the money, and she has a decent claim, that should be enough that she should be able to hold on to the money that she seized. So that's why we deliberately make sure that by the wedding of a basula, we bring a sealed barrel of wine. And by the wedding of a bula, we bring an open barrel of wine. So she can't say, well, there was no barrel, not because I wasn't a basula. There was a barrel, and it was an open barrel to declare and make everybody aware that you were not a basula, and therefore there would not be any issue. So here we see that they used to pass in front of the kala. And Mr. Shem, in our coming shiur, we're going to discuss the halacha of Ketz Merakdon Fnei Akala. The question that we need to discuss now is their mitzvah for the Edom to look at the Kala. Is there a mitzvah for Edom to look at the Kala so that they could definitively say, we were Edom at this wedding and we saw the Kala and we know that she was the Kala. Davni Nezer's opinion is that we don't have to act, the Edom don't have to actually see the face of the Kala. I saw, however, that there are many Paiskim that say that the Edom should see the Kala. The Shas Chuvas Chesel Avram says that the minig was that the Shamus of the Shul would stand under the Chuppah and lift the veil of the Kala in order that the Edom should be able to see the Kala. And so too, I saw the Reb Moshe Shterbuch and the Shalos Chuvas Chuvas Van Hagas Chelik Dalat Simreish Pei Zayin says that that should be done. The Shalos Chuvas Pei Shloima has a discussion and he says that one doesn't have to do so. The halacha is that the kala under the chuppah should have a face covered. And the fact that we know that this is the wedding of this chassan and this kala is adequate even without the Edom seeing the face of the kala.